Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Within Our Reach, a podcast all about accessibility, inclusion, and leveling the playing field at work and in our community. I'm Blake Hunsley, and I am not here with my usual co-host, Shelley Allward-McLeod. She is out today, so instead we have literally everyone else that we could rustle up. We have the lion's share of the Reachability staff here today to discuss what we've been up to this past year, some of our client success stories, as well as some of the challenges and opportunities we see heading our way in the coming months and in the year ahead. So everybody, literally everybody, welcome to the show. Hi, everybody.
Woo!
Hello.
This is the Reach team, and I'm here, even though it's Tova, and I am the CEO of Reachability, but I also would like to wear my Shelley Allward-McLeod hat today.
Wouldn't we
and
all?
Co-host with, oh, aren't you cute? we'll fight over it.
Okay.
Wear my hat and assist and support any conversation going on today, because I know this is going to be fascinating. We don't really sit around the table other than at meetings and just talk about what's been going on and how it's been going. And of course, let's wrap up with a where it's going.
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
That's really important too.
And I think we should start too. We'll kind of go around the table here because we have some voices that will be familiar to listeners. We also have some that are brand new on the podcast, which is very exciting. We should note too that this is lucky episode number 13. We decided to do a bonus episode this season. This is the last episode of season 2, but we're pretty committed to coming back for season 3. So we hope that you'll join us again. I believe in January is when we're going to start airing those. So I'm going to start moving around the table. First of all, you've heard me. My name is Blake. You've heard this voice on our last episode very briefly. Evan, hello.
Hello, yes. My name's Evan Dobby, and work on special projects here.
Perfect.
And my name is Hervé, a facilitator for the One Step Closer program, and I also do the first aid program here at Reachability.
Yes, if anyone collapses, we're expecting Hervé to spring in.
Yes. Right. He's been practicing on those dolls, I noticed. Yes. Hi, it's Tova, CEO of Reachability, and someone you've probably all heard before. All right.
My name is Amanda Kress. I'm the facilitator of the Ready, Set, Success program, so I'm also part of the employment team.
Hi, it's Marcus Fortune. I do pre-employment support here at Reachability.
Hello, I'm Franco Martinez. I am BOSS and BOSS 24 facilitator, as well as Aaron.
Hi, everyone. My name's Emma, and I'm the employment specialist for Reachability.
Sweet. Thanks, everybody. We used a ton of acronyms in there, so we'll just quickly touch on a couple of them. BOSS, I've only been here 6.5 years, so I can't get
building
the name right.
Building on self-awareness and self-management. Plus, I find people who are struggling with their frustrations to like being bossy. So I thought BOSS also had a number of different meanings when we originally discussed that term.
Mm-hmm.
That was Tova. Testing. One, two, sibilance.
I always thought it was like become the... your own boss.
Yes, that's what we.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we tell people, Franco. But I thought it was important to be very Franco at the table. And oh, sorry, everyone's making horrible faces at me.
I'm going to make a lot of faces at your puns today. That's just what
okay.
I do right
I'm not going to pun out.
I would actually like to start with Franco because BOSS is one of our most popular programs, but it's also all of our programs. Yeah, they're very impactful, but BOSS. BOSS is the one where you hear people say, you know, I got back to see my kids. I got back into work because a lot of people in BOSS have been mandated for various reasons to take the course. So I think some of the stories you have that come out of your course, some of your client successes can be some of the most heartwarming. Also, some of the stakes are sometimes highest in your course. So what is one of the stories that's kind of stuck with you from the past year, Franco?
Well, like you said, a lot of them stand out. One particular is a client that unfortunately had an overdose while he was attending the program, not in the office.
Right. Yeah. Which we should mention, this is not a zone where we allow any drug use. That's not a welcome thing at Reachability.
And that is covered under one.
Yes. Yeah.
But he reached out a couple of weeks after saying he was okay. And he felt that what he was learning was helping so much that he came back and completed the course. And we were happy to support, happy to see where he was at.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, we've had multiple success stories regarding folks reuniting with their families, which might not be as impactful to us.
Well, it sure is to me. I mean, well, family is everything, because that's the very cornerstone of starting their life. Do you have an idea? And often it's very hard for us to do this, Franco, which is know what happened, you know, once we've worked with someone, especially in a BOSS program where they're not going on to employment necessarily and all the other programming we offer. I wonder, do you know where that person ended up, or where they went, or even a next step that you were able to communicate with them? Because I'm always curious, now that we've got this good information in front of them, is it going to then go into practice on some level? So I'm always curious.
I'm very happy to report that he relocated to Halifax. He wasn't local.
Okay.
He relocated to Halifax, and he managed to start building a network that he very much needed. And he was very happy to report how this network was growing. And I appreciate him attributing it to BOSS, but it was 100% his effort and his willingness to improve.
100%, I hear that. I hear that. And that's really important, I think, to start to notice about some of the common threads of the stories you're going to hear today, Blake, is that the folks are doing it themselves. We're providing the material, but I've seen people I never thought would walk in this door and stay here, because despite their discomfort, I'm quite severely ADHD, and I know my discomfort in crowds and classrooms, and seeing folks do it, come back, push themselves through it, and then ultimately utilize that support is really why we're all here today after almost 30 years.
And not just utilizing it to better themselves. Chelsea's not here, so I'm going to tell her Brian's story today. Unfortunately, Chelsea, our intake coordinator, couldn't be here. You can actually see this story on our on a video on our YouTube site. It's a client named Brian, who he came in and he had been thrown out of essentially a shelter. I hate to say a shelter of last resort, but it really was essentially his last step. He was in a very bad way. Chelsea was able to kind of get some first steps set up for him, bring him into programming here. He showed up, I feel like it was over a year later. None of us recognized him because he looked so much healthier than when he first came here. His physical state was much better. His mental state was obviously
everyone
better.
Asked who he was.
I had no idea. And I had met him many, many times. I felt quite bad. But the thing about Brian that sticks with me the most is that he's now working in another shelter. He is essentially almost the Chelsea of that shelter, and that he's welcoming people in as their first step, as their port of call, and giving them the resources to succeed. So not only did we kind of help him get out of a really bad state. I mean, Brian, I don't want to overstate it. Brian says himself that he would not be alive today if he hadn't have had this particular meeting with Chelsea and gotten on a better trajectory. But it's the fact that so many clients, we hear these stories where they're doing better afterwards, and then they're like, and therefore, of course, I'm paying it forward. So I honestly think we really
are. I love the pay it forward piece. And I think that we would be surprised at how many of the clients we worked with who didn't seem to have much at the table at the time have been able to develop what they're putting to the table or bringing to the table, and continually wanting to help others through it, because they really genuinely understood that the team at this table, and let me just say this right now, extraordinary group of people communicating in the most authentic and most supportive way they could without yanking people forward, rather meeting them where they are. And I'm looking around the table as I speak, because this is true of everyone at this table. So I'm really so honored that, you know, we have people like Franco and like all of our team here in front of me that are doing that work and giving room to the client to be where they are. Now, the funny thing about BOSS for me is it doesn't necessarily move people into our programming as much as some of the other programs like One Step Closer and Confidence Building, where I think that's interesting. Now, is that because, Franco, most of them are already kind of either have a job or already kind of involved in where they are, and it's really a matter of this sort of, I don't want to say adjustment, but this work to be done?
I think it's a little column A, little column B.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because most of them also start realizing that they are not heading in the direction that they were expecting.
Right.
So they start looking at their opportunities in a different light. Some folks do continue, and they love being around.
Mm.
So usually when that happens, Marcus takes over,
right,
so to speak.
Well, to me, Marcus is the client advocate. On paper, he's known as Pez, P-E, PES. Now tell me what that acronym means.
I've called that position the PES dispenser for 6 years.
Well, I know. I spell it with a Z because I'm so sure we're talking about a PES and I'm the one who made it up. Sorry, Marcus. That's why I try to also call you client advocate, because I do believe at Reachability, if someone has questions or concerns, one of the things we're really good at, and I think someone should tell the story of when people come to our office.
Oh, we're so annoying. Can I?
We are. Yes. Can you tell that? Because it's really all of us.
If you come to Reachability's office and sit down in our lobby, one of the first things that's going to happen to you is you will be absolutely accosted.
I knew it.
By a half a dozen smiling faces.
Well-meaning.
Well-meaning, but everybody, we're helpful to a fault around here. Yeah. It's very often that I'll walk through the lobby and say, have you been helped? And someone says, for the love of God, about seven times. Yes, I don't need a cup of coffee. I don't need any more water.
It's all
I know
of us.
Where I'm going. I have a resource. I'm very comfortable. Thank you. Go away. So no, we are, there's worse things than being overly helpful. But yeah, Marcus, this is a good segue for you because you are, I would classify you as overly helpful. Definitely.
I absolutely am, well. Yes.
So why don't you tell everybody listening what exactly the PES dispenser really does?
As a PES dispenser.
Yes. So
representative.
Dispensing as
dispensing, a PES dispenser. Dispensing, I like it.
So basically I'll meet with clients and meet them where they are, really mainly looking at resources they need for employment. I do want to share a time where a client did come in and they weren't necessarily employment ready, but they did need things to get them there. I do not remember what time of year it is. I do know it was very cold outside. This individual was facing many barriers, one of them homelessness, the other addictions as well. They were moving away from things, didn't want to be around it anymore. They came here with no coat on. They didn't have any gloves. Their hands were almost purple from the cold outside. Chelsea and I were able to help them that day with some gloves and just some other needs that they had. Fast forward a few days later, they come to me very panicked and say that they had to leave their shelter that they were in. So I needed to find them another one. And I'll be honest, I was very doubtful on being able to help them. And I fortunately was able to find them somewhere to stay. It took only 3 phone calls. And I say that because housing here is...
I was going to say, that's impressive for a housing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want everyone hearing this going, oh my God, this is my housing guy. Because the way it works, just, I hate to interrupt you, but just to be clear, the way it works is that clients who are part of our team become really part of our family. We're about many services to the few. We don't put through 2,000 people a year. What we do is we work with maybe 300 to 350 people a year, but those folks get a plethora of support. Mm-hmm. And certainly the ones we've always said, if we have no one goes nowhere. Reachability was one of our lines. And really, that's why PES exists. Because Marcus, there were so many things people were looking for between One Step Closer, confidence building, and employment. There were so many pieces. And like you said, to move them even closer to employment. So the ability that you have to do that is really powerful. So please continue your story and forgive me for interrupting.
Well, that was really the story. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm really happy to be in the position I am for a community advocate for you know, not only our clients, but other community agencies. But what I think is really what I take most away from my job here is whenever I'm out, like not even working, like it'll be a Saturday afternoon and I'll see someone. I've seen the client.
And you're not working?
No.
Just kidding. No overtime at Reachability. Go ahead, please.
But I have run into this client before and they always wave to me first, you know, and I always see that as, you know, I help someone out and now they see that and they're like, this guy helped me out, you know, and he, even though he might not have been able to give me exactly what I need, which is maybe a little more stable housing, but I was able to find him that quick fix. And, you know, that feels really good. Whenever I run into other clients, it's so nice to see them smile and want to, you know, say hi to me, you know. I always welcome
that. It's a good sign.
First. Yeah.
It's a good sign.
It shows that right. I'm doing well in the community that I serve, not only with clients, but again, with, you know, other community
partners. And I have to tell people who are listening to us today, check out TikTok. Yeah. We got kind of a low chill guy going here. Marcus is our representative.
Marcus on the move on Fridays.
Marcus on the move on Fridays. I love that.
New episode.
New episode today.
Yeah. We're working on it. That's great. But you know, what's interesting, Marcus, is before Marcus usually gets to see folks, they've at least gone through one program, and that's One Step Closer. Hervé and Alex run that program. Alex is out today with a little flu, or doesn't like podcasts, but one of the, I'll leave it at
the
that.
The plummiest British voice is the one that we are missing.
I know, we
podcast.
Missed our cutie so Brit voice, so kind of feeling bad.
So everyone pull
it.
An accent is what I'm asking.
So, but Hervé, running the One Step Closer program, which is really where you arrive at Reachability and you're welcomed, and folks say, okay, now what? One Step Closer, just to be clear, because people, again, we have all these acronyms, it's literally about finding out your value. So many people come in here, and Hervé, I'd love you to maybe give us an example of some of that. But so many folks come in here, and the number one thing they say is, I'm worth nothing. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
I can't go anywhere.
What skills
I'm
do you
useless,
have? Barely none.
None.
Yeah.
And we stop that train right out the gate. And it's Hervé and Alex who really get a chance to talk to them and explain to them, not only do they have incredible value, but they have what we call transferable skills and all of that. What would you like to share with folks about One Step Closer and how it's been going the last year, Hervé?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As Toba just mentioned, typically...
Oh, did I tell all your stuff?
Typically, the first program that people will take when they come in is the One Step Closer program. So Alex and I get the honor to be that first point of contact, that first program that people get to experience. And it is crucial in terms of determining what they do next. Mm. So one particular story that I'd like to share is a client who had negative experiences at work in the past. And that kind of took a hit on their self-confidence because they were surrounded by people that told them what they can and cannot do for a long time. So at some point, they started believing that themselves. So they kind of put themselves in that box and believed it. And part of the main things that we do here at One Step Closer, one of the main things that we hope people take away is having these discussions so that you realize what you're really good at and what your strengths are. So over the 2 weeks, they were quiet at the beginning of the program. And over the 2 weeks, they opened up a lot more. They, you know, started talking about what they're good at and advocating for their needs. Oh. And you could see something in them sort of waking up, so to speak. And I think that is one of the biggest takeaways, even though that is a unique story, but that is something that I hope a lot of people take away from OSC, and we do see happen a lot, is I realize what I'm good at, and by spending time talking about it, I also gained the confidence to take the next steps in my life.
It's fantastic, and more so in the past year, I was really impressed with the fact that you and Alex took it upon yourselves to develop relationships within the shelter community and providing some information right at the shelters, because often, as we all know, shelters give great services for like your basic needs. You've got a roof over your head. You know, if you need a doctor or a nurse visit, they do that stuff really well. But what we wanted to be able to do is bring some of those wraparound services. And what I mean by that is the support of saying One Step Closer is at your disposal. You as well need to know what your value is. And you as well need to, you know, make that part of your experience. And hopefully we move people beyond homelessness and beyond even shelter living and into, you know, real lives with real homes and all kinds of great experiences. And I wondered if you could share a little bit about what that experience was like, because that was just something we were working in partnership with. I want to acknowledge ACSS.
Yeah, Atlanta Community Shelter Society. They've got a number of, I believe, of tiny home communities.
I'm very impressed overall, and I've been able to go in there with our team and meet them, and they've been very open and welcoming to their residents, getting more. And I have to say, it's been an amazing opportunity for me to understand what's going on a little better in our community with some of the most marginalized folks. And I wondered what your take was, because you really got this up and running.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really great experience. We did a couple of locations, and overall, it was a really, really positive experience. The staff were welcoming, and the residents were really glad to have us there, especially given what I just mentioned about the type of things we talk about. I think the residents there enjoyed, you know, talking about what they're good at and looking at their future in a positive sense in terms of what do I want to do next and what do I want to be thinking about, what am I good at. And it was a really huge success, and we were also able to connect a lot of them with more programming that's available here at Reachability.
Which is great, giving them a place to go where they don't have to feel stigmatized or even they've been invited. Nurses just sort of heard about it. And then, of course, they get to meet Marcus, who's able to help them with some of those roundabout services. And if need be, they get to talk to Franco. And then, of course, we hope at some point that we're also moving people forward into employment. So it's been a pretty exciting outreach, and we look forward to continuing and growing that relationship in the coming year. We'll talk about that in the coming year more.
I think one of the nicest things about the Shelter Project is it really seems like you're bringing kind of a sense of hope and optimism, because these are people who are in acute need right now, and the services they're being provided, which we're incredibly grateful for everything Atlantic Community Shelter Society is doing in terms of the physical health and the physical safety of these folks. But again, these are folks in acute need who have not had a sense of hope about their future for a lot of them in some time. So I think that's a massive change from what they've been getting in terms of the services, where it has been more about survival. And now you're giving them a sense that they may be able to thrive again.
The idea of next steps is in itself kind of a concept when you're in that situation. And I always say, by the grace of God, go I. Mm. Because as a single mom, when I first returned back to Nova Scotia some 30 years ago, I was in my car thinking, what do I do next? And I think that's probably why I'm so sensitive and kind of I feel the importance of supporting shelters beyond the physical needs. That's been something I've been really connected to and finding my way. And with ACSS, we've been able to try some things out, different lengths of program, different content, and really see what they wanted and what worked for them. And we're also hoping to expand this year. And I know we'll talk about this year later, but this year into doing some training for the staff too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like growing that relationship and being part of a community that we think we can really provide some unique benefit to. Because you know me, I always ask the same question, why reach? And it really is the word you have to ask, why reachability, Evan?
And in line with that, yeah, it's something I think that both Irvay and Alex really excel at, is that compassion they both have. And so many of those clients really have been stuck in a position for so long and have such a negative self-image, where when one of them, you know, sees the value in them and they see that reflected back, I find that is a very powerful sort of breakthrough moment that really starts to shift the perspective and start to allow some daylight in where they can start to imagine a more positive future.
You know, Evan, while I've got you on the mic, I wanted you to update us a little bit on what we call the PEP project. I know you have your paws in a lot of projects, but in this case,
paws in a lot of projects.
Ah, I didn't even mean it, gals. Mm-hmm. The employment team's not impressed by me at all. Okay.
Has Neo been to the shelters? Because Neo's wonderful in our One Step Closer classes. I would love to be.
She's been all over the place this year, so maybe you could update us on that.
Yeah.
And for folks who have no idea
what are we talking about?
Neo is our lovely therapy dog, who Evan is
so cute,
wonderful dog handler here. So yeah, Evan runs our pet dog.
Yeah, that is, no offense to anyone else, but definitely my favorite part of my job is working with Neo. It's always a joy and a pleasure. Neo is our resident therapy dog. She comes into the office. Usually try and have her in at least a couple times a week while we have clients in office for programming. And she's just here as part of that continuing effort that we have to make the office a gentler, kinder, more welcoming space. She really helps ground people and deal with a lot of those turbulent emotions that we can be going through.
Evan, you have to tell the story because it's a quick one and it's a good one. A lot of newcomers in particular aren't used to pets around. Mm-hmm. So although clients, we could give you 1,000 stories of clients totally connecting with that moment of the dog and they lost their dog and it's really a lot of emotion. And we've got story after story on that. I love the one about the young lady who's a newcomer who saw Neo in the office and Neo happened to be going home at the same time. And I wondered if you could share that quickly.
Yeah, but she was someone who was afraid of dogs, had not had good experiences.
Made it clear.
In her life. And the moment she saw Neo was clearly very taken aback. We reassured her that that's totally fine. And we always check with people to make sure they're okay before we interact with Neo. But it was a real eye-opening experience for her to see a dog in a different light, where a dog that is very well behaved, very gentle, and very non-threatening.
Within a matter of moments.
Really shifted her entire perspective on dogs and the possibility of interactions with dogs, to the point where by the time she'd finished the elevator ride, she'd suddenly realized, like, oh, I finally encountered a dog I'm not afraid of, and I think I'm actually okay with it.
And then, if you may recall, she called the front desk upstairs from the lobby and said, from now on, any appointments I have, I'd like Neo to sit in on.
Yes.
That's that you have to that, know. One little secret.
That's a common request, to be honest.
I know, but we're on the second floor.
Yeah.
So the elevator trip was one floor. Yeah. So Neo worked fast, is all I'm going to say.
She's effective that way.
She's effective in terms of time. Yeah. But also, I love that we also take her out to community.
Yes.
To businesses. We want everyone. The PEP project is really about inspiring all kinds of spaces in our community, especially other NGOs like us, to bring in the dog. Because even, and I love this, Evan, you've told me this, even when there's not necessarily clients in the house, Evan always says, we got to bring Neo in because it's good for the staff and
yeah.
everyone feels better with Neo around.
Yeah.
And that's something I hadn't as, you know, kind of focused on. And I loved it when you said that because it was like, you're right.
Awesome.
Why should everyone enjoy Neo but us?
Mm-hmm.
It should be and us. So I really appreciate
say,
that.
Yeah, like we all have hard days and Neo always makes it easier when she's around.
It's so true. So, you know, the one area we haven't discussed here yet, and it's kind of a big hole in the middle, and that is employment, because it's a very important area for reachability in terms of the last stop before we hopefully wave goodbye to you at your new job. I'm now waving for those who can't hear me. So we've got here, you know, the team, really the core team, and that's Amanda who's doing the classroom work and Emma who's doing that one-on-one development work. And I wondered what you can tell us about what's been going on this year for employment in the past year and maybe how you want to move forward or some things you want to make happen.
Yeah, I guess I'll start. So I'm
Emma.
I'm Emma, as Toby just said.
In case you forgot, listeners.
I'm the employment specialist at Reachability. So as Tova already mentioned, I do a lot of the one-on-ones. So it's people come to me once they've done any of our programming. Typically, once they've gone through Ready, Set, Success, they then move on to me if they are ready for employment. If not, they then could potentially go to Marcus just for that pre-employment if they're not still quite ready. So in terms of what's been going on, there's actually been lots of new and improved things happening.
I know. I'm so impressed by what you and Amanda have put together moving forward and really taken the employment process up a notch. There's no question. And everyone's noticing it. And of course, it's showing in the results as well.
Well, we've noticed it because you dragooned most of the staff and to be part of it now, which is great.
Yeah, everyone's doing mock interviews. It's like, who's doing this interview? You know, you've got everyone in the staff truly engaged.
And I just think also having everyone involved in the team in our programming, honestly, is what's best for the clients because they all just get to experience different
everything.
Yeah, like different types of how people engage with one another, how they are taught something. Maybe they learn something new from someone that I couldn't give them or Amanda couldn't give them. So I think including the whole team in this process only benefits the clients more. Also benefits us too, because I think it also makes us a bit closer as a team and also able to, you know, understand what's going on and all of the programs that we run, because there's so many that sometimes it's hard to, you know, really get to sit on a class and get to see what someone else on your team is doing. So I really like that everyone's including in this.
Can you maybe share a story with us of something or some of the interesting work you've been doing? Because I really have noticed quite an uptick in employment between Amanda and Emma's work and people then moving on to jobs much quicker than it used to be. So I really want to acknowledge that and ask you maybe to share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So one thing that we did for the Ready, Set, Success program is we actually revamped the whole program. So
it was time. It was time.
So we've changed it up. We've added some things that we didn't have before. So for example, we now do outings with our clients where one of the outings is we actually take them to the library, where, as many probably know and many probably don't know actually, but the library is a good hub for
it is the new
lots,
community center.
Yeah,
it really is.
Lots and lots of services you can find there. Programs that the libraries put on themselves, but then programs that you can find for other organizations. It's a great, great tool for many. So we've actually added that into the program where we take our clients to the local library and we set them up with a library card if they don't already have one. And then we get them on a computer at the libraries, because that's another benefit that the libraries has, is computers where you can go and access the internet. So we get them on the computer and we get them to print off material. So another thing that we added is actually getting clients to do certificates or get certificates in the program. So one we get them to do is the WEMIS certificate. So once they complete that, they then go to the library, I think a couple days after, and they actually are able to print off that certificate right at the library so that they have it in a physical copy.
So what I'm hearing is you're adding more tactile, more offsite.
Yeah.
And a part of the I have to move to Amanda because it's really RSS is your baby. And I wanted to know maybe, Amanda, for the class, maybe why a bit of the change and how you've seen it work.
I mean, the main part for the change is to just make sure they have as many tools
100%. I get that.
Before they move into actual employment.
Makes sense.
I think the biggest thing that I've noticed, and I am newer to the team, so I don't exactly know what was in it before, but the interviewing portion, as well as the mock interviews that they do at the end, has been huge in all of my feedback forms. It's always mentioned, no matter what, that they were so, you know, nervous going in, but we go over different methods on how to answer questions and things like that.
So, and you're doing more than just them, the mock interview. You've brought, yeah, you've definitely fleshed that out because you saw the need.
Yeah, they right. feel so much more confident and a lot right. less. Yeah.
Anxiety. Do you have a story you want to share about somebody that may have come through your class that really benefited?
I can think of one in particular, and she started in one group.
Mm-hmm.
She was very, very overwhelmed and decided to step back and wasn't 100% sure if she was going to choose to come back to the program. You're talking
with someone who started in the employment programming, said, yeah, you know, this is a bit much for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to step back. Okay.
Yeah. Then she did go to One Step Closer,
yeah,
which is now a prereq for Ready, Set, Success.
Which, by the way, is another thing you guys did, which I think is very clever.
Which has been really, really amazing. And then when she came back she came right back to the course into the next one there, and she completed it. And seeing what she was in the first two, where she was at afterwards.
Yeah.
It's been
night and day, baby. Night and day. I get it.
Amazing.
It's exciting, yeah, right? Yeah. And when you are newer in the role, as you've identified, Amanda, you know, you need those early successes, to be honest, I think, emotionally as a facilitator, to show you, yeah, I'm on track. And after you're here a while, you start to notice, you know, this is pretty great. I'm part of the change. I'm making a difference in my community. And to be honest with you all, I think that if we're not saying that enough to ourselves, we need to say it more, because everybody who's made a choice to work in the nonprofit community has taken a hit. I don't care what kind of hit. Maybe it's your family saying, what the hell are you doing? Maybe it's somebody else saying it. Am I running over? Is that what you're looking at your watch, Blake?
No, it's telling me to relax because I have ADHD and I'm sitting here quietly. So my watch is telling me I need to relax.
Oh, I love that. Right? Another show for that. But I just want to say that it's so important for this team, just how well you do at taking care of each other and yourselves, to be able to do all of that and still take some of the strong negative energy that comes your ways, because there's no way around it. I mean, Franco could talk all day about that, but the fact is you have to manage the client and also self-manage and be self-aware for you. And it's what I'm acknowledging with this group is that's what I've seen. And the changes that you guys have been implementing have kept us really at the very edge of what I call not best practice, but next practices. What else can we be doing? We're always in that mindset. And so Amanda's brought a lot of great ideas and she's also been implementing them. And it's kind of exciting to see her and Emma, and with the help of the gang, to build what we need to build here. So we know that the clients are coming through. How's the employment been, if I may, Emma?
Yeah. So,
you know, we do quarters just for the listeners. We work in 3 months because that's government funding. So every 3 months we stop, we take a count. In this case, it would be April, May, and June. So just so you folks know, how have we been doing in those 3 to 4 months?
Yeah. So out of all the clients that have come to the employment side of things since April 1st mm-hmm. to now, we have actually been able to find, out of all the clients, 70% of them jobs.
So you're telling me that 70%, and I'm not going to pussyfoot here, our clients are not the clients who you know, just jump up and grab a job. These are clients you really need to work with. They've had work with Marcus. They've done some work with the One Step Closer team. Some have come from Boss even or sent back to Boss. So you've got what I call some of the toughest to employ. And you've been kind of making it work.
Yeah, and I can even think of, for example, a client that Marcus sent to me was first working with Marcus for that pre-employment support. Mm-hmm.
So that's what PES means. Pre-employment support. Just doing it. Sorry. Go ahead.
So Marcus, you know, emailed me, said, you know, I have a client. They're ready for employment. Can you help them? Obviously, yes, I can, or I'll at least try to the best that I can. And I think I worked with them for, less than a month, maybe 2-3 weeks. And by that second or third week, we were able to find them employment. So yeah, it just kind of goes to show that, you know, all programs are involved in some way. And once you complete one program, if you need more support, there's always someone here to give you a hand. So that was a really nice success that I think both Marcus and I had, because also I think that client was a long-term client as well.
And we've had clients who not either long-term or come back every year. Yeah. And we want to ask ourselves what's changed for them and how we can change how we're supporting them, because clearly it wasn't as successful.
Yeah,
as
and I think what changed for this client in particular was that they were now ready. And
I love that.
They had the tools that they needed and they were ready to go into employment. And it worked.
I want to mention one thing I've noticed in the past couple months that you guys have done that I think is really smart, because part of what we do here, we keep our classes small so that it's a safe space for people to share. It's a safe space for people to feel comfortable learning at their own pace. One of the really nice knock-on effects of that is you get a great rapport with these clients and you really can build up a relationship with them. Then you have to do a mock interview with them where they have to simulate all the stress of a real job interview. And so I've seen a number of times where we've said, okay, I can't interview this client. We need to, Blake, Tova, you need to come and interview this client. You have met them maybe once. Essentially, we need to simulate the nerves for them at that point because you've made it such a safe space. And I think you've struck a really nice balance between giving your clients that confidence, making them feel that you truly care, and then not exactly, you know, throwing them to the wolves, but giving them a really realistic perspective on where they are before they go out into the real interview. So it's not a shock. It's not a slap in the face when they don't have friendly Emma and Amanda right there in front of them, cozyingly taking them through it. So no, I think you've really struck a good balance with your approach.
Thank you.
All right. sorry, we don't want their hands to get
Listen,
bigger.
Listen, she's the only one.
Too big.
She's the only one that brought
numbers to the table for me.
Wait a minute. We never asked her. Did you bring numbers to the table?
Yes.
Oh, Hervé, I'm sorry. Boom, the One Step Closer comes through. Hervé, what kind of numbers have you been looking at this year in terms of the results of the One Step Closer?
Yes.
Confidence building.
One of the main highlights for our program is that 93% of everybody who took our program say that they noted an improvement in their self-confidence and self-worth. And that is such a nice thing to hear from them because it is self-reported. It is such a nice thing to hear because you also see how they build these relationships with each other throughout the program. So seeing that being having a huge effect on them is really reinforcing to us as well. And, it, you know, makes me come in happier the next day and, you know, 100%. Feeling ready to do the next group.
How hard is Monday morning? I'm being partly serious because, you know, I don't like to work very much, but I do. But Mondays, I find you really got to rev up. Do you, because this is a lot of people go to jobs and they're just like, wah, wah, you know, I got to go to work. I wonder, honestly, and I guess, can you say honestly when your boss is sitting next to you asking? So perhaps make signs with your eyes if you don't believe it. Just wink if you don't believe what you're saying. But no, seriously, I mean, I like coming here. Like, I know maybe that's easy for me to say, but I really like coming here. I like coming in and seeing you two in your office, and I'm pointing to Emma and I'm pointing to Amanda, and they're sitting in there. You know, Emma's having her breakfast, big giant containers of food. I don't know how it works, but I believe if she stops eating at any point in her day, she collapses. So she's got a good plan there with the food. And, you know, and I get to go, you know, and see Blake and we catch up on the day and so on. But I have found people not coming in like, you know, kind of like, oh, damn. I got to go to work, even though in the summer we all say it. But I wondered how you feel in the morning.
I've been here for 6.5 years, so I feel I can talk to this a little bit. This is the first job I come into and don't trudge up the stairs on my way in here. And that's mostly a critique of me. Part of it is that I wish I'd found OSC One Step Closer about 20 years earlier, because for so long I felt stuck and just didn't know what I wanted to be when
well,
I grew up when
diagnosis
I was 30,
as well.
For heaven's sakes.
Exactly.
Yes, late diagnosis, ADHD, so all kinds of fun there, yes. But you come in here, you get the supportive team. You can't walk by the One Step Closer classroom without just picking some stuff up through like osmosis, essentially. Like you would do, you pick up a comfort in here, and then we'll sit down at the table on a Monday morning. We always start with the staff meeting and we have these stories on the Monday morning. Oh, hey, we got this person employed. Oh, hey, this person came in. They got to see their kid for the first time in 2 years. It's a pretty easy gig to show up to and feel good about things. But I, again, the only thing that makes me mad about working here is that I wish One Step Closer had been something I discovered at 20 instead of coming to work at 40. But so yes, if you haven't discovered One Step Closer yet and you're feeling very stuck, please give us a call. Don't wait 20 years.
That's certainly the part. Anybody?
I think it's a reflection too of our efforts to make the office a more welcoming place for our clients by being a kinder, gentler environment, by having things like Neo. And in terms of knock-on effect, it also benefits us too. And like having such like a kind staff, such a great camaraderie, all these things, it also really benefits us and makes it such a more enjoyable place to just show up every day.
And I find it's that, and I'm going to go to you if you don't mind anything, but I also find that you actually wouldn't mind hanging out with folks outside of work, maybe not me so much, but the rest of you.
You're coming to my house in 3 years.
Yes, but I think I have to clean or something.
No, literally everyone at this table.
No, I'm joking. Yeah, we have our annual staff picnic at Blake's house. It's true. It's awesome if you're invited. Eric, what's your thoughts on all of this? I mean, you know, you're someone who's done a lot of different things, which I love about you, but what are your thoughts coming in here and what you've noticed?
Absolutely. I think one of the pleasures that I have as part of my job is, as we mentioned earlier, the One Step Closer program is one of the first things that people do when they get here. So when it is a successful story, they don't just disappear. They go on to do more programming here. So seeing that person who was with me 2-3 weeks ago go on to do more things in the office, do more programming, and you see how they're progressing within their own life, but also how happy they are to be here and interact with everybody. I think it's a joy for me because I got to interact with them at the very beginning of that journey, and I get to see them for a couple more weeks, even though they're not directly in one of my programs.
Yeah. Right, right. I've noticed nobody mentioned food. Okay, it's me, maybe. Toba here. Food. I also want to acknowledge that people walking in and smelling a lunch, having a yogurt at breakfast when they haven't had anything to eat, that stuff is really, I think, perked people up. And I've noticed in some of the outtakes, folks like to mention the fact that it means a lot to them to have that food security, knowing every morning when they come in, you know, you need something to eat, it's there. Every lunch hour, there's going to be a protein, a meat, there's going to be a vegetables, there's going to be a starch, like it's a proper meal lunch. And I think that everyone has contributed to that, by the way, because it's not a highly funded program. It's just a let's get the food in and we'll handle it from there. And I just want to thank everyone for that as well, because for me growing up where, you know, everything happened in the kitchen, I feel this comfort when you can come to our place and know you will be fed, but not just fed an egg salad sandwich. Not that that's a problem. I'm not personally a fan, but, you know, but like a chili with turkey and, you know, all of that. And it makes me feel better when I smell the food when I come in. And I know it does it for other people too, because we used to lose, and Evan, you can say, remember this, we'd lose so many people without lunch. They would just leave and never come back because they were hungry and they had to go to the food banks maybe, or they had to go do something else to rustle up.
Or they couldn't just sit and try to learn important things
on
an empty stomach. No one should be expected.
People said it all the time. So I just want to also acknowledge that I think that has added a warmth, you know, both internally and externally, you know, the senses, but a warmth to the process here at Reachability. And people often, you know, I think the greatest compliment for everyone here is they don't want to leave. I would say that's one of our biggest challenges is getting them out the door to go to the next step because they became comfortable. And I know that's one of the reasons you guys are doing more outside, different people, all of that. And I love bringing in an employer to talk to them. So a lot more of that's going on. And I think that's probably removing some of the fear. And I also know Marcus has this great module he does on fear of going to work, fear of going to the next step, whatever it is. And I have to say, I think that adding that to the end of the employment program has been very smart, because it's something they need to hear and you can never hear enough. And I think it's also boding well that you're developing the employer relationships better and saying, here's who we are, here's who our clients are. So I'm really impressed by that as well. And that's expanding our network, because we're all about partnership. And I think we've done a nice job as a small agency doing a lot by bringing in partners that can support that.
And while we're talking about partners in the food program, we really should take a minute. Halifax International Airport has supported our food program this year.
That's right.
We've also received funding this year from Nova Scotia Power for some of our programming.
That's right.
Law Foundation of Nova Scotia,
God
Province
bless.
Of Nova Scotia, Office
Mental
of Mental
Foundation.
Health and Addictions. We want to send some big thanks out to all these people for sure. They keep the lights on. They keep us here. They keep us really helping our clients. And they're going to be powering us in the next year coming, which we should talk about. We did promise we'd talk a bit about plans for future months and for the year ahead. And instead, we've just been having too much fun telling stories. So,
so bringing it around again, I appreciate that. For instance, a great example of that is just the changes we put in the employment program and how we're going to implement. So moving forward, Marcus, why don't you get us rolling? Moving forward, what are some of the things you're looking forward to that we're either adding or you're developing as part of your role? Because you're always expanding.
Yeah, always. And, you know, I've been in this role for... I'm having a hard time remembering. I think like 2 years in this role. But what's most important for me now is not only connecting with community partners, but, and I do want to explain this, playing well with community partners as well. I find like what I'm getting at is, you know, I don't gatekeep information. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not mine to keep. It's public knowledge. So I always share that information with everyone I run into. And what I find most really exciting about that is whenever I'm explaining a new resource, usually the person does not know about it. And I find that really exciting, you know, sharing something new for someone. For instance, LinkedIn Learning through the libraries. Every time I bring that up, it's for free. You can get certificates online. We do it, you know, in my program, in employment, absolutely. So yeah, that's something I want to do in the future is focus more on, you know, spreading that message of let's all do this. We are all serving the same community. We can all get along, support in the same way, and all, you know, realistically keep doing what we need to do long term for the community.
I think that's great. You know, I grabbed from poor little Emma's. Brought this great little love out.
And you missed name practice.
Yes. And it wasn't even Emma, it was Amanda. So you could have let that go. No one could see me.
I know.
What a jerk.
We can't do that.
You know, they can't let me even for a moment. Yeah. So, see, you don't even have to defend yourself, Amanda, because there's an entire table of people defending
allies.
But I
Amanda.
Love the allies. Thank you. I'm feeling very victimized. Here's the deal. Clients, we do a really good intake and outtake. We talk about happiness. We talk about stress. We talk about management. And this particular outtake that you brought along, Amanda, which I really liked, this question. And I wanted to share with people that we use this question because this is our future. And we ask, if someone told me they were nervous about attending, in this case, Ready, Set, Success, RSS, I would say, so different clients are advising how we handle nervous people coming to the program. I think it's such a clever question. And the answer in this one was they reach out where you are and where you need to be. They are there for you and your journey, and they're focused on genuine goals. I mean, that's really, and I know who that is, and I can tell you that's not where they were when they came. So good work.
This is something I'd really like us to do more in the new year too, is we have these clients who have just
really succeeded when they've come out of Reachability. And we hear, you know, sometimes they'll send an email 6 months later. They're like, guys, you won't believe how good things are going.
I know.
As fun as that is, I would love to get some of those people in to talk to the clients, to talk to the Ready, Set, Success classroom.
That's a great idea. Some of your graduates.
Yeah, I was here 6 months ago.
What a wonderful
idea.
Exactly.
I have them sometimes. Thank you. But yeah, we'll have them back in the new year to talk about that in person with them. Kind of
see, we're always thinking, we're always open to new ideas. Everybody, what are your thoughts on this? What in the new year do you want to see happening in One Step? Or what do you see? Either I know actually you and Alex have been working very hard on curriculum updates. And by the way, let's acknowledge that if you cannot use the same old material year after year, you can't teach a course once 5 years ago on disability confidence and then expect everyone to know it forever. Things change and they change rapidly. Mm-hmm. And what I've loved also, and One Step's a great example as well as the employment program, and that is the updating going on, the constant learning. Like right now, Franco and I've been talking about a potential program down the road, and we made a decision not to have a curriculum, not to have a PowerPoint, but just to do it through discussion and theme to get to where we want to be. And I just love that kind of conversation. What's happening new for you?
Yeah, I'd say I'd actually like to point out something that maybe didn't get enough love in the first half of our podcast here. First aid program.
That was a big, I didn't mention because I didn't want to say it.
We joked about keeping us alive, but it is actually worth more than a joke.
It is worth a mention. It's been a big journey for Airbay to bring it to this community, to our office for our clients.
Because we should mention, you are certified by...
We are in our fourth month and we are offering first aid in partnership with the Canadian Red Cross. And it's been an important thing to add to our programming because one of the things that was mentioned earlier in the podcast is that we want to provide tools for success to our clients. And first aid is one of those tools that's very important right now as people are applying for jobs. And the second thing it does achieve is overcome barriers. And that happens in two ways, both financial barriers, but also learning barriers, where if you go out there, most first aid courses are offered with maybe 30 people in a class, 20 something. And sometimes people do not get that attention that they need to actually follow through with the program. So here at Reachability, we do have smaller class sizes and we ensure that everybody gets the attention they need and the help that they need to actually complete the program. So I think this is something I'm really looking forward to for the upcoming year, strengthening what we already have going and making it part of what we do.
Well, you know, I like this term. I use the term win-win-win a lot because I believe the more wins in anything we do, the more people will want to do it and the easier it will be. It's really that simple. But in particular, the first aid edition is a true win-win-win. You've already mentioned two of the wins. The clients are getting, you know, certified. It's important on resumes, as the employment team will tell you, to have some certification since 2000. You know what I mean? We're updating resumes. We're showing capacity. But also, it's assessing their capacity to move forward into other programming because first aid does demand certain things. And we learn very quickly also some of the barriers they're going to face if they move forward to employment through this learning. What do you think?
Yeah.
Emma?
And I
you
guess...
are Emma, right? All
yeah,
right, never
we
mind.
Can kind of talk about that as well because
yeah.
I guess one of our challenges, like mine and Amanda's challenges for employment, but also something that we're looking forward to is technology. So as we know,
and you mean by that the level of technological knowledge
yeah.
of clients coming in.
Yeah. And you know, this day and age, technology is all over the place.
For sure.
For any job, really, you need to know how to use any technological
yeah.
tools. But what we kind of started to realize is that a lot of the clients that were coming through to Ready, Set, Success kind of lacked those technological skills that were needed to do the program, but then also to then go to the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been, I think, maybe our main challenge so far this year. But what we're looking forward to and what we have done to hopefully make this change is that we've actually incorporated different programs and different lessons, different things for the clients to do to hopefully advance their technological skills so that when they do move into employment with me, that they are fully ready for any workforce that they go to, because now they have the technological skills to, you know, send an email, create a Google Doc, a presentation, whatever it may be. So as it's a challenge, we're also just looking forward to seeing that play out and seeing the clients just benefit from it in the future.
And I really have to acknowledge that, in addition to bringing that to the table, I know we're also have Evan doing some journaling so we get better writing, because Evan's a really fine writer. So he's taking on that piece, as well as some IT for folks that really need a bit of one-on-one, which we're determining very quickly, especially around first aid. It's another one of the wins, is understanding where they are. And also being able to say to the clients, you come here, we're going to work with you where you are and get you where you need to be. If you're open to it, it's going to work. If you know you're not ready yet, then we understand and we'll see what changes down the road. But most importantly is identifying these kinds of things you're doing as you go, and not being afraid to upset the apple cart a little bit by getting those things in. We're an agency that believes in constantly challenging ourselves on why we do something. And it takes us back to that very first question, which is, why would you send someone you care about or yourself to a reachability program? And I think the answer is just look at this table. And although you can't see it, trust me, great people all around. What do you think?
I think we did it. I think that sums us up, what we've been up to in the last year. I think if people want to know more about what's coming in the new year, we are at 3845 Joseph Howe Drive in Halifax, Suite 201. I think you should just come and give us a visit. One thing I wanted to say about the new year before we go, too, is we talked a little bit about past clients here and about how we're always welcoming someone to come back, especially if you need us and it didn't work out the first time. I want to make that point. Don't be afraid to come back if things have changed. If something has changed and you are ready to try again, we're going to be here for you. If something hasn't changed and you are still not ready to put the effort in on yourself, then we'll talk to you.
Let's have a visit.
But we really are firm believers in the mantra we say all the time. Nobody goes nowhere. So if you're willing to try, come and see us. We are not going to leave you stuck. We're going to set you up with Hervé. We're going to put you in One Step Closer. We're going to get you to meet Neo. That's going to get you into an employment. And then Marcus is going to solve all of your other problems, but potentially only temporarily housing. We're still working. Housing. Send us your solutions, by the way.
Yeah, yes. Please. All solutions on housing are welcome.
Yes, exactly.
But I do want to say finally, though, that, you know, the government of Nova Scotia is our primary funder. I know that Blake mentioned some other ones, but we want to acknowledge that during these tumultuous times, they've been a good supporter of ours and our programming. And we look forward to both consulting on some of the changes that are coming here in Nova Scotia through our government partners. Mm-hmm. And being part of the solution and continuing to do the good work, because the community that we tend to work with is that very marginalized community. And we want to make sure the playing field is equalized for everybody. Nothing special about it.
Yep. We have been serving people with some of the most acute needs in our community for 27 years, 28.
Almost 30.
And we're planning on continuing to be here for the long haul. So check us out, reachability.org. Come visit us. Give us a call, 902-429-5878. And we're happy to tell you all about the good work we're doing here. Everybody, thank you for listening to Within Our Reach. This has been season 2 of our podcast, which was made possible thanks to the support of the Province of Nova Scotia and the Support for Culture program. If you have feedback on an episode, an idea for future episode topics, or if you would like to come and join us on season 3 in the new year. Yes, I'm talking a lot. Stop making little motions at me, boss lady. All right.
It was Marcus.
It's always Marcus.
Yeah. It's always Marcus. If you'd like to tell us why it's always Marcus's fault, while he's helping you with everything except potentially permanent housing, reach out to us at withinourreach@reachability.org. Thank you all very much for listening.
Woo! Yay.